It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop that closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. You know, the truth of who you are is so much more important than the false truth of who you're not. And I think today's guest is really going to help us see that piece. And the reason I say that is because he spent a lot of time in thought. But before he dove into thought, not so long ago, he could be found whipping up words for a United States Congresswoman, but then traded that gig in to be an entrepreneur, consulting with restaurants large and small all over Chicago about an addiction we now call social media. Yes, he was the social media guy for some pretty big restaurants in the Chicago area. Now, here's something that I find really humorous about him. He was born and bred in what he calls the Little Apple of America, Manhattan, Kansas. This nerd of nerds, as he affectionately calls himself, became lovingly aware that his calling wasn't working for a congresswoman or doing this stuff for restaurants. It was going to be found outside those patriotic hills of Capitol Hill. And it was going to be beyond creating those Twitter recipes to extol the culinary virtues of some of Chicago's finest restaurants. In fact, like many of us, he began being pulled towards a destiny. A destiny that would provoke him pretty much into a soul-searching space to really find himself and to really come into the present moment, a place where he could really allow himself to become lost in his quest to become a thoughtful gay man. And with that, I want to welcome my friend, my fellow coach, my buddy from Chicago, the founder of Thoughtful Gay Man, Josh Hirsch. Welcome, Josh, to the podcast, man.
Hello, Rick. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that robust introduction.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with somebody who's a communications major, so I better make sure this one's really damn good when I write it up. Even though most of it I write up, and I just kind of freeform it as I go. But yeah, I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm so glad that through the lovely world of social media, you and I became connected, because I think without Facebook, we probably would have never really crossed paths. So, a few months ago, we had a conversation, we kind of compared some notes, and then I became part of your Thoughtful Gay Man Facebook group, and we've kind of just been kind of sharing each other's journey through social media over the last few months. But what I love about what you're doing, Josh, and I want to kind of dive right in and get going around, you know, this being a thoughtful gay man, is that I can tell from everything you're doing, this emanates from your own truth and your own self about who you are as a gay man. So I'm curious, what really inspired you to dive in and create this space called the Thoughtful Gay Man?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always, this is part jokingly and part the truth, you know, watching Oprah's Super Soul Sunday on her network, that just inspired me in a big way, because I love those conversations that get beneath the surface, that are have more depth to them, that are soulful, that are talking about kind of the bigger things of life. And so that was one of the influences. But another one was just my background. In college, I studied communications and how to form community. And so that's something that's really always been interesting to me. And being in Chicago, I looked around kind of wondering, where are gay men talking about these deeper things of life, and I didn't see anything, and I just thought to myself, you know, this seems like something that would be, I don't know, demand for. And so I created a meetup group in January of 2014, and it was a blizzardy Chicago night, and I was just like, no one is going to show up.
Right.
And 33 guys ended up showing up that night, and
wow.
I was just,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't have, you know, forced it or planned that any better. It, you know, everyone who needed to be there was there. And it just ranged from, you know, guys in their 20s all the way up to their 60s, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. And that really confirmed to me that there was a desire and a need for this.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm also hearing in this, without you having said it, there was something within your own self that obviously you felt you needed to connect. You needed to have a deeper sense of connection with gay men in your own world. That's kind of what I'm sensing. How true was that?
Yeah, I mean, I love people. And so being able to meet new people is always exciting to me. And, you know, I have my, you know, tight-knit group of friends, but working from home, being an entrepreneur, I, you know, had to find ways to kind of expand my network and get out of the apartment.
Sure.
So that just felt like a really natural, easy, fun way to connect with other gay men.
Sure. So in this connection and everything, and I think this is really important for, you know, those in the podcast audience to really start to latch onto, as you're coming through the closet doors, you know, or maybe in that pre-closet door phase before you come out of the closet. And then even, you know, you and I both know post coming out that it's really important to surround yourself with community. But being able to really connect is so key, critical to this journey. If you could tell someone that's listening what would be one of the real deep advantages of starting to build community before you even come out of the closet, what would be the reason for that from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the big reasons is, and Brené Brown talks a lot about this, but we are designed for connection. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of in the way that we're designed for water, we're designed for oxygen. Connection is something that we really deeply need as humans. And, you know, so I think that's just a need that goes unspoken a lot of times, especially in our culture in the United States, because we're very like that rugged individualism. You know, we don't need anyone else. We can, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and do whatever we need to do. And I think that's just it's a destructive belief. And we know it's not true.
Right.
When we're able to surround ourselves with people who we identify with, who have kind of walked maybe a similar journey that we have, it brings us out of isolation. Mm-hmm. It makes us know that we belong. And so I think that's just really key to growing as a person.
Well, and I love that you bring up this piece of it brings us out of isolation, because in our journey, it's very easy to isolate because we start in the closet. We isolate mm-hmm. into the closet because of, you know, societal pressure that, oh, there's something wrong with us and being gay, you know, yada, yada, yada. We can see, you know, around society, even as we're, you know, seeing in today's culture, there's still a stigma around being gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. But this isolation piece can become the way of life if we're not careful. So that piece of stepping forward into community helps us start to realize we are not alone. We have somebody to call our family, so to speak. That phrase gets mm-hmm. thrown around a lot. But I believe this is one of the key components, that when someone is considering coming out of the closet, going through those closet doors, having been on the other side, the sooner you can surround yourself with some form of community to be of support, even if it's somebody that you can just turn to every once in a while, you will thrive so much at a higher vibration, knowing that you are just like every other gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender person. You are like anyone who suffered through cancer. You're like anyone who's lost a child. We're all going through these closet doors of our life. So, so as we talk through this, I'm curious about something, because I think there's something that really spawned this for you, and you and I haven't, I don't think we've talked about this, but the piece of the thoughtful gay man, I think what you're really trying to do is challenge us as gay men to go deeper. So if you challenge guys to go deeper in your workshops, and we're going to talk about, I know you've got one coming up here in the next few weeks, but as you challenge guys to go deeper, what is the real intent there in helping them get into that deeper thought process?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, as you go deeper into your own life, I think this goes along kind of with the isolation, is that you're able to see that other people have experienced that same thing. And I think, you know, when we're going about our daily lives, most of our conversations are pretty surface level. I mean, how many times do you say, you know, oh, how are you? And then the other person says good, and then you say good, and then you just kind of go on with your day. There aren't that many spaces where we can just be in the present moment. It's a safe environment where we can talk about what's really going on in our lives. And I think it forms that connection. It melts away isolation, and it just gives you kind of that extra step and that energy of, you know, this life, I'm in it with other people, and I'm in it with other gay men. And, you know, to hear stories from other people of like, oh my gosh, I went through that same thing when I went on a date last week, or, you know, I experienced that with my own family, and that dynamic really resonates with me. So, you know, the exchanging of stories is so powerful in forming trust with one another and just seeing life from a different perspective.
This trust thing is so key. And I don't know, maybe it's because I just listened to an Oprah meditation around trust. But yes, I'm an Oprah junkie just like you, buddy. So high five. We have that in common too.
High five.
Yeah. But at the base of who we are, because again, we've been forced into these closets, we tend to stand in a space of distrust. And then we carry that distrust forward into our coming out journey and into our relations with other men. And I know we're talking a lot about gay men, but the same thing happens for lesbians and bisexuals and transgenders, because we don't know if we can really trust somebody with our secret. Mm-hmm. When in reality, what we really don't know if we can trust somebody with is our truth. It's not our secret. It's our truth. Mm-hmm. And I find it really challenging sometimes for people that I'm working with that are coming through the closet door, and gay men. And then, of course, you know, I have a whole side of my business that's not gay, lesbian. It's regular, everyday, heterosexual. Scary. Kidding, of course. But that they're actually having the same trust issues, because it may be that they, you know, don't trust that they can say, I really want to be that person at work, I really want to go for that promotion, but they're afraid of, you know, letting that little secret come out because maybe somebody won't like them, you know? So we're all standing in this interesting trust space. So it sounds like as you're doing these get togethers and these meetups with gay men, some really interesting stuff is really coming forward. So what are some of the big conversations that seem to be happening over and over, or maybe not such big ones that you go, wow, I never saw that one coming? Can you just kind of share some things that are showing up for you during your workshops?
Yeah, the last one that we did, we talked a lot about success and purpose and fulfillment. And so we broke into small groups and I asked them to talk about, you know, what really, how do you define each of those words? And, you know, do they interact with one another? Are they opposing to each other in any way? And, you know, how does us being gay men connect to this and how we show up in the world? And it was just fascinating discussions to hear, you know, guys talk about success and, you know, just how that's so different for every person. And, you know, it can lead to comparison and, you know, well, he has this and I don't have that. And then talking about purpose, one of the things that stuck out to my mind is how, your purpose can shift throughout your life. This idea that at one stage of your life, this may be your purpose, and at another stage, it may look different, and being okay with that. And so it just raises a lot of ideas and perspectives that I had never thought of before. And so it's just, it's so, I leave so energized and excited about, you know, whatever comes up.
That's very cool. And you know what? We just had like our own little Oprah moment here. I just want you to know, because you just said something really powerful. Your purpose can shift throughout your life. That's such, that's like a big tweetable right there, because it's so true. And I think sometimes we're on this quest for, oh, I got to find my purpose. And once I find my purpose, then I will have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, life is a continual purpose. I mean, if I roll back and look at where I was, it's been almost 6 years ago when I became a coach, and I look at where my business has gone from being known as the coming out coach to then establishing the Gay Man's Life Coach brand, and now working on a brand new endeavor that's more evergreen for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this and I go, yeah, is my Just Be You revolution that I'm creating right now, is that my purpose? Or is that just the next step to what's coming around the corner? I've learned to really realize, as you said, your purpose is going to shift throughout your life. And if that's your end goal, you're not going to get the Super Bowl ring. Hate to tell you that. You know, it just isn't going to happen. So when you see guys speaking about this stuff, because I got really curious because I've done some group stuff, and I always am very fascinated in group environments, but especially fascinated by gay men in group environments. When you had them, you know, get into their little groups to talk about success, purpose, and fulfillment, I'm wondering how challenging at first that seemed for most of them. Did you see them kind of clam up? Did you see them get kind of nervous? Did you see, I mean, I know there's going to be lots, but I tend to find gay men like suddenly like, I don't know how to do this.
You know, the room that we were in is pretty small. There were 15 guys there, and I had a hard time hearing the people in my group because there was so much conversation.
That's great.
You know, I think a lot of the guys that come to these events tend to be more open-hearted people because it is a risk to go to something like this, you know, because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. I mean, I try to put an outline of, you know, how I run it, but, you know, anytime you enter a group of people that you don't know, whether they're gay, straight, whatever, it's, there's an element of risk there and vulnerability. And I think what makes the group so rich is that the guys, they really do open up and they speak their mind and give their perspective. And, you know, I create that space for that to happen.
So, yeah, let's talk about that space, because I know you shared with me in our pre-interview that people say you kind of create that third space for people to come be. And I love that concept. And I think it's very powerful. So in that space, what is like really the thing that you're striving for to really help them open up? I know both of us as coaches, we know we hold space for clients, but in the bigger space, what are some of the things that you do to try to make the guys feel really comfortable being in that arena?
Yeah, at the beginning, I mean, when I start each workshop, you know, I keep things lighthearted, and I kind of just introduce some principles that we agree upon as a group, you know, of, you know, we will respect each other's perspectives even when we disagree, because we will disagree, and acknowledging that you know, all of us have completely different perspectives on things, and that's okay. You know, also we're going to be gracious with one another. None of us have all of this figured out. You know, we're all on our own journeys. We're figuring out life as we go. And then also, you know, I don't need you to be like me, and that's okay too. So really creating a space where people are less about judging someone else's perspective and instead looking at what they're bringing to the table, because they're going to bring something to the table as well. So it's more about, you know, contribution than trying to find, you know, quote, the right answer.
Love it, love it. And we had another tweetable right there. I don't need you to be like me. I love that, because I think when we can stand in that very powerful space, and again, as the coming out work that we do, I think this is something that if you can wrap your head around that as you're coming through your closet doors, to realize I don't need the person I'm telling that I'm gay to be like me in the acceptance or anything. We don't have to have that. We may think we do.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful when it doesn't happen, but you don't need someone to be like you and accept your gayness.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one who needs to accept it. And yeah. I know every time I work with someone in this arena, and even beyond that closet door, when I start seeing a client start feeling like, well, I need their approval, or I need someone to really like me, I always stop them and say, do you really need that to actually be who you really want to be in life? Because mm-hmm. if they say yes, then I know where we have the beautiful work to go start exploring. Mm-hmm. None of us need anyone else's approval. And I know that's a big, bold statement I'm throwing out there. And a lot of people go, okay, brother, we're going to argue that one. But really, truly, you don't need someone else's approval to get through life. Do you need approval to get the work done? There's certain aspects of the logical, egoic part of life you have to get through. But to be really whole and fulfilled, you don't need anybody else's approval. You can mm-hmm. bring that on yourself, which I think now we're starting to really get into the thoughtful gay man sort of dialogue stuff.
Yeah.
So what is the most inspired, and I know this one may take you by surprise, but what's the most inspired thing that's come out of doing these workshops with gay men for you personally? And there's the crickets. The crickets are there. I said the crickets are there. He's thinking. He's being very thoughtful. But yeah, what's really inspired you?
I would say that the natural mix and like the intergenerational variety that show up at these workshops, I think, is the coolest thing because it's not something that happens naturally, whether it's in, you know, the LGBT community or in community as a whole. You know, I think our society is very much, you know, young people here, old people here, right, and then the in-between people kind of wherever, you know. So to see that, and to, for me, I'm, you know, 29, be able to hear the perspective of someone that's 30, 40 years older than I am,
right,
you know, that to me is just so cool.
Yeah, yeah, it is very cool. You know, and I think it's very inspiring too. And okay, so I'm laughing right now because before Josh and I got ready to record this, I said, so if there's fire engines or anything that come up, don't worry about it. We're just going to let it happen. And of course, there they were. So there I did. The universe heard me and they called him forth. So, you know, hey, you know, this is why we do these podcasts live, because it's just so freaking cool to just know this isn't, we're not in some huge, fabulous studio. We're in Studio Rick, you know, and Studio Joss in our homes. But,
yes.
But, what I love about what you just said is, you know, I was involved in an organization here in the LA area that really focused around helping us as gay men really step into the complete tribe of gay manhood, everything from our gay youth to our gay adult to our gay elder perspective. And I love the intergenerational stuff, because when we give ourselves permission to really go step in and be alongside one another from a space of how can I be of service and what can I learn, everything shifts.
Yeah.
Everything shifts. And I'm sure that's part of what you're discovering too, when you have some young guys and some, you know, middle-aged guys, and then some of the elders, you know, the 60-plus guys, which was what I would consider an elder in our community. They're not that old, but they're starting to reach that point where their wisdom is such a gift to all of us because of where they've come from.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
I'm really curious for you, when you think about the thoughts, and again, I'm going to have you dive a little bit backwards. When you think about the thoughts you had in your own coming out journey before you really just said, okay, here I am, how did those thoughts hinder you or help you? And I know they're two different thoughts, but let's talk about the hinder. How did thoughts hinder you in your coming out process?
Like how, kind of what was my thought process toward coming out?
And because I think what's so fascinating to me is the thoughts people have about their coming out that really aren't founded until they're founded.
Yeah. I think the primary one, I grew up in a pretty conservative Christian home, and I'm an active United Methodist today, but I think the primary fear was, how are my parents going to react? What will be my future in terms of like faith communities? What will that look like? And, you know, how will my siblings, I have two sisters, you know, what will those relationships look like? And so those, I think those were the primary fear factors, I guess, you know, in terms of coming out and that sort of thing.
And so what shifted? What were the thoughts that started to shift you into a space of bravery, of courage, of going forward? What were some of those thoughts that kind of propped you up and said, okay, I'm cool, let's go?
Yeah. Well, going to college helped. But I think the bigger part was finding other guys who were gay as well, you know, in going back to the community aspect, the connection aspect, the belonging, you know, there are other people going through this. I'm not the only one.
Right.
And so I remember early on, late high school, early college, meeting some guys through the internet, like Zanga, if anyone remembers Zanga,
right.
E-props. And so I met some guys through that I was like, wow, they have this faith background that, you know, I have as well. And they're kind of figuring out who they are, their sexuality, that sort of thing. And once I started finding that community, it really gave me more courage, you know, to step forward. And also just a few of mentors that I had in college, you know, I wouldn't have gotten through it without them. So that, you know, I look back on those people and I'm just like, oh, thank you. I'm still in touch with them, but you know, it's, you realize how crucial certain people are in your life at different times.
Absolutely. And you know, this piece of the thoughts that you just shared, first of all, it validates, I hope it validates for some of the people who will listen to this, that, okay, I'm not alone, because both scenarios that you brought forward, I've heard numerous times. Probably, I couldn't even tell you how many times I've heard that, whether it's through my work or just casual conversations with people. It's when we realize that, okay, yes, I'm afraid that what my family's going to think, I'm afraid what my faith's going to think, da, 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 da. I mean, you can almost go down the checklist of, okay, here's the coming out checklist. You're going to have this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought, you know, which I don't say that flippantly. I say that from a place of love of, guess what? You're right where you need to be. This is exactly where I would expect you to be having a challenge. But then when you hear then I found my tribe, I found other people like me, yada, 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 which is the beautiful thing, again, about how you're creating this space of thoughtful gay men. Because I think there are a lot of gay men out there that are in search mode. They're trying, still trying to find their peeps, their posse, their boys, so to speak. And I think the beautiful thing about the world we live in is there are circles and tribes and posses and, you know, your peeps, your, you know, your party bus that you're going to get on for every one of us. And don't give up hope, because you will find those that are really into, yeah, let's go have some real deep conversations. Let's go really figure ourselves out. And guys and gals, we're not saying, don't go have some fun. Don't, you know, don't turn away from the bars and all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about at all. So as we're getting, go ahead.
Monastic life.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, it's not. It's the life is meant to be lived. It's meant to be experienced and loved and to, you know, it's, to me, life is to be painted on a beautiful canvas. Every day is another canvas to go paint upon. So,
yeah. Well, what I tell guys at the beginning of each workshop is that, you know, community is a verb.
Yeah.
You know, it is an active thing. And sometimes, whether it's in our personal relationships or in work life or in, you know, whatever it is we want to get in life, it's easy to be passive and wait. But community is, it's a creation. You know, so get out there, like you said, look for the people that you really resonate with, that you really get, and, you know, they'll get you. It takes a little legwork, but isn't it worth it? You know, isn't connection worth it? Isn't belonging worth it?
You know, I'm laughing right now because what just went through my mind as you were saying that, it's like, so yeah, connection takes work, and is it worth it? But it would be like saying, so if you didn't have to date and just Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful just dropped into your lap, would it be worth it? Okay, maybe the first thought, yeah, but then isn't the journey part of the fun? I mean, that to me is part of the experience of getting out there dating and having some bad dates and, you know, not having a great hookup, and it's all part of the journey. So
totally.
So as we're starting to wind things down here, Josh, I've got two questions. One is one that I always ask at the very end, but I have one question specifically in relationship to the work you do. What does it mean to you to be a thoughtful gay man?
Yeah, it means to be gracious with other people. It means to wait and see. It means to take a breath and welcome other people into your life. You know, it's to trust, and it's to invite other people into this way of living.
Wow, that's powerful. So before I ask my final question that I always ask at the end of every podcast, let's talk a little bit about Thoughtful Gay Man. You've got a new program getting ready to start, so why don't you share that with the audience? And folks, he's in Chicago, so book your tickets now. Get your plane tickets if you need to go do this. Hopefully some of you are in the Chicago, greater Chicago area, and you get to attend. But talk a little bit about what you got cooking, Josh.
Yeah, so our next workshop is going to be April 16th. I believe it's a Sunday, third okay. Sunday of the month. It might be the 19th. But we're having another one of the workshops that I do. It's going to be around relationships and intimacy. So it'll be kind of in that same vein of what we talked about, purpose, fulfillment, having those conversations about what those things look like in our lives, what have our experiences been, and to just hear from other guys what they've been through, whether it's relationships, whether it's dating. So yeah, it's a fun, safe space to come and just talk to other gay guys about what's going on.
Awesome. So I want to make sure they know where they can go find the information. So what's your website address?
It is www.joshhersh, that's H-E-R-S-H.com.
Awesome. Awesome. So go check out Josh's site at www.joshhersh.com, and you can get all the information for his forthcoming workshop for Thoughtful Gay Men. And as we wind down here, Josh, the question I always bring at the end of the podcast is, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge. It's about helping people find their space, their way to help them step out, step up, and step into living their truth. What's one piece of advice that you know was kind of your saving grace as you came out of the closet that you'd like to pass on to someone who may be just starting the journey, maybe got their hand on that doorknob, ready to pull that closet door open? What would be one piece of advice you would give to a listener?
Yeah, I would say it centers around having compassion, you know, not only for yourself, but also for other people, in any way that you can, of just knowing that you're okay in the moment and you don't have to be where you're not yet. It's okay. And just to look at people with compassion, and especially look at yourself with compassion, you know, knowing that we're all on a journey, and it's just, your heart will be warm, filled with warmth the more you can just look at people and see, even if it's one tiny aspect of them that you can find that is good, that is life-giving, you know, be able to see that compassion through that lens of compassion. I think it's so important.
That's awesome. And with that, I'm going to feel like Oprah right now and say, we're going to kind of call that one a wrap. And if you've really enjoyed what you've heard today from myself and Josh, and you got yourself in your own head of starting to think about things, whether you're a thoughtful gay man, a thoughtful lesbian, a thoughtful bisexual, a thoughtful transgender, a parent of someone who's listening to this, if we put you into a space of really going into thought and you like what you've heard, man, we'd sure love it if you'd just take a minute or two and hop over to iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, wherever you're accessing this from. Give us a little bit of love over there. We'd really like that. And of course, I know there were a couple of really great tweets that came out of the conversation today. You know, I don't need you to like me. And of course, your purpose can shift throughout your life. Those were two of the tweets that are going to go up on my tweetable today. But if you really like those, give us some love over there at Rick Clemens and the hashtag #ComingOutLounge. And of course, as always, you can hop into Facebook and like the Coming Out Coach and also like the Thoughtful Gay Man. There's a group page over there as well. But with that, I just want to encourage each and every one of you to take your thoughts with you. Realize they're just thoughts, but sometimes they service and sometimes they don't. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. And just remember to always go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth each and every moment of your life.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.